Good morning, everyone. I want to thank you all so much for being here today. What I'm here to talk to you about is a project that I completed as part of my Master's of Public Health curriculum. I interned with the Dare County Department of Public Health in Manio, North Carolina this past summer, and part of my duties there were to plan, implement, and then report upon an outcome evaluation for one of their health education programs. And that health education program was entitled Peer Power. So throughout the presentation today, I'm going to take you into kind of the background of why Peer Power exists, what the program involves, and then I'll take you into my study design and results. It's just to begin with, I have no relationships to disclose. We'll start by looking at chronic disease burden in North Carolina. According to the North Carolina State Center for Health Statistics, heart disease, cancer, and chronic lower respiratory diseases are the leading causes of mortality in North Carolina today. They account for exactly 50% of all adult deaths, which is pretty concerning considering that these deaths are considered to be preventable because they involve modifiable risk factors such as physical inactivity, tobacco smoking, and poor dietary habits. And undeniably, the incidence is higher in adults. However, more and more researchers are beginning to recognize that these risk factors often originate in childhood and adolescence. And when they do, they can cause significant negative health and social consequences throughout the lifespan. So more of these modern prevention efforts are focusing on youth and really trying to instill these behaviors at an early age. And that's where Dare County comes into play. They are a coastal county in northeastern North Carolina, so they have a really large, it's a popular tourist destination, so there is a culture of tourism. And with that came an increase in smoking and obesity rates among their county youth, so they're really becoming a strategic player in these types of efforts, particularly through the implementation of programs such as Peer Power. Okay. So you might say, well, what is Peer Power? Peer Power is a peer health education program that was launched in July 2001 as a collaborative effort between the Dare County Department of Public Health and the Dare County School System. High school students from each of their three county high schools are chosen and trained to become peer health educators to their neighboring elementary and middle school students in the three core determinants of chronic disease. Okay, and since this program has been running for 12 years now, there have been some previous evaluation efforts. One in particular was conducted by the North Carolina Institute of Public Health at UNC Chapel Hill, and it was a strictly qualitative evaluation, really just trying to gauge project stakeholders' perceptions of, you know, what was Peer Power doing for their school, did they like it, that kind of thing. And overwhelmingly, the evidence was that from all stakeholders that they liked Peer Power and they felt that it was really contributing to both their school and the community at large. In addition, students, after they undergo their curriculum, are given a pre and a post semester test around their knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors around these three areas. And overwhelmingly across the board, they all indicate that there is increased knowledge, increased behavior change. But the problem is that there's no evidence that this behavior change actually persists through time. What you'll get right here is just a diagram of the participating schools. Along the left-hand side are all three of the county's high schools. In the interest of time, really the important information out of this slide is that the second and third column are those students who are actually receiving the Peer Power curriculum. Highlighted in yellow, you'll see that approximately half of the seventh graders at First Flight Middle receive it and approximately half do not. That was the population that I chose to look at because it is a built-in natural experiment, and theoretically you can find these students years later and expect that half of them have received it and half of them have not. So the goal of this study was to investigate whether students exposed to the program in the seventh grade had healthier behaviors 2 to 3 years after exposure compared to students never exposed. The first objective was to assess their current health behaviors and compare it to those who never participated in the program. And kind of a secondary objective to that, I also looked at how Peer Power students were comparing with national standards, which I'll talk to you a little bit in a couple of slides. So the study population that I looked at was 9th and 10th graders at First Light High during the 2012-2013 school year, which was a total population of 450 students. I sampled from 9th and 10th because I wanted to get a large enough sample size. So that's why you'll see that we were looking at 2 to 3. And it was determined that we needed a sample size of 121 in each exposed and unexposed category. This is a figure of how students were enrolled into the study. So again, we started with that pool of 450, and they were given a health behavior survey with questions from the YRBSS in physical activity, nutrition, and tobacco practices. They had to undergo passive parental consent and student assent, so we did lose some students along the way, and this is just a diagram of how it all played out. As you can see, in the total exposed, we ended up with 141 students, and the total unexposed was 125, so we did meet sample size requirements for each. Again, they received this survey in their regularly scheduled homeroom classes, and it consisted of questions from the YRBSS, with a filtering question asking whether or not they received the program in their 7th grade year. And based on the response to that question, they were broken down into an exposed and unexposed, with all those students who did not attend First Light Middle excluded from analysis. The survey consisted of basic demographic information such as age, grade level, race, and sex, and the outcome variables again were level of physical activity with 3 questions assessing that, diet, 4 questions for that, and tobacco use, 4 questions for that. Okay, so the outcome variables for physical activity, the main variable we were looking at was number of days spent in 60 minutes or more of moderate physical activity, with participation in team sports being another indicator of active status, and hours spent watching TV per day being inactivity. Nutrition, we looked at fruit and vegetable consumption with consumption of sugar sweetened beverages and consumption of fast food as indicators of a poor diet. And for tobacco use, we looked at ever use versus never use, age at initiation, current use, and frequent versus experimental. Current being that they have reported that they smoked on at least one of the past 30 days. Frequent being 20 or more of the past 30 days, and experimental being anything less than that. Okay, so the survey was analyzed using SPSS, and the outcome variables were assessed, and then where applicable, they were dichotomized based on whether or not they met national recommendations. Chi-score tests were used to evaluate the differences between exposed and unexposed, and we did not do any sort of controlling for age, race, or gender, mainly because the demographic makeup of these students was so similar, and also because there were no statistically significant associations between exposure status and any of these demographic variables. So overall, we had a 59.1% response rate with a pretty even breakdown between those who reported peer power exposure and those who didn't, and also another fairly even breakdown between the grade levels. And here is just a chi-square analysis stratified by exposure status of the demographic variables. What we haven't mentioned so far is that, again, there's another fairly even breakdown between male and females. And really kind of the important takeaway message from this is that there were a large amount of Caucasian respondents, although that's not that surprising because that is representative of both the county and the school makeup. So it limits generalizability, but it was not surprising to find that. Okay, chi-square analysis stratified by exposure status for physical activity, looking at level of physical activity, recommended, whether or not they got the recommended, participation in team sports, and television viewing. For a level of physical activity, they were classified as inactive, moderately active, or active. And as you go down that spectrum, you can actually see that more students in both groups are reporting these higher level choices. But really, what we need to focus on is the difference between those who were exposed to peer power and those who were not. So you're looking at 73% reporting from peer power that they were active versus 52 from non-peer power. And for the recommended physical activity, that was Part of the CDC's recommendation is that students receive 60 minutes or more on all 7 days. And so, again, kind of the interesting thing is that more students are actually not getting that in both groups. But, again, peer power students are more likely to have said that they are getting the recommended than those who did not participate in the program. And for participation in team sports, and we wanted them to say that they played on at least one sports team. Again, peer power is complying with that a little higher than non-peer power. Television, obviously you don't want them to watch as much TV, and in this case it's showing that peer power is complying with that at a higher rate. However, it's not a significant measure. It's more moderate, but it's still promising. Okay, and this is looking at nutritional practices among those exposed and unexposed. The recommended fruit and vegetable consumption at the time recommended by the CDC and by the World Health Organization was that students receive five or more, or adolescents receive five or more servings of fruit and vegetables per day. That has now since gotten a lot higher, so you have to keep that in mind when looking at this. But again, we can see that almost double the peer power are saying that they're getting the recommended as opposed to non-peer power. Same goes with eating at fast food restaurants. We can see that peer power students state that they are eating less, just like they're stating that they're drinking less soda as well. For tobacco use, kind of the interesting thing here was that more students are reporting never using from the peer power group, but also I found it a little bit interesting that they should, if they're receiving it in the seventh grade, they should be receiving peer power 12 to 13, so you actually see less peer power kids after that age starting to smoke cigarettes, so that was very interesting. In conclusion, the findings indicate that those exposed to the program are exhibiting healthier lifestyle choices than those who never received the intervention, and that they are also complying with national health objectives at a higher rate than non-peer power. There are some strengths and limitations, some of the strengths being that this was a very easily accessible population, predominantly because it was a natural experiment that you could easily access exposed and unexposed. But also, the health department has had a long-standing relationship with the school system, which made it very easy to get access to these kids. Some of the limitations include that it is based off of self-reported measures, so there is the possibility that responses were swayed by either fear of, you know, anonymity, or their exposure status may have made them feel like, oh yeah, that's what peer power taught me, so I should probably say this. This study also did not control for dosage, so we had no idea whether or not these students received the intervention in elementary school as well. It's possible that some did. It's possible that some didn't. You just had no way of knowing based on the survey that we used. Okay, and despite these limitations, there are some really good implications for school-based chronic disease prevention. This might possibly enhance funding opportunities for programs of this nature or for peer power in Deer County. There's the possibility that they might could expand it to other grades or schools because they're not currently reaching everyone. And overall, it's just a good thing. It's showing that it is kind of a promising approach to chronic disease prevention in schools. Okay, and then lastly, I just wanted to thank everyone on this slide and the entities on this slide, as they all contributed great ideas and assistance throughout the research that was summarized here. And thank you all for listening and being willing to sit here. You in the back. Well, to begin with your question about cross-contamination, honestly, that was something that was not thought of, but it was definitely something that should be thought of, because kind of like what I was saying with dosage, I am well aware of the fact that in Dare County especially, there are several programs Like, for instance, there might be crossover between their Peer Powers tobacco-based curriculum, and I think they have another program. It's a substance abuse program used nationally. I can't remember the name of it. But it's definitely possible that there was some cross-contamination, so that could certainly affect the results. And can you repeat your second question? I cannot answer that to the fullest extent, but I will say that it has quite a bit of not only public support, but also health department support and school support. It is, I imagine, a tremendous undertaking. It is a program called Peer Power, and I did not really go into what all their curriculum includes. They are not evidence-based. They're evidence-based in the sense that they use evidence-based materials to teach these kids. But that's another thing that needs to be in consideration, is because we don't really know how the curriculum was taught across the board. Yes, around physical activity, nutrition, and tobacco.
How are the students chosen to participate?
The high school students the peer health educators are chosen based on recommendations by guidance counselors. I think they have to at first be interested and apply, and then the guidance counselor will recommend yes or no, academic achievement, that kind of thing. As far as the actual program participants, it's sort of been not very standardized, I guess you would say, in the sense that really a lot of it depends on the school's logistics. So let's take First Flight Elementary, for instance. They reach the third graders. They reach them in their homeroom class. And then they reach the seventh graders at First Flight Middle in health and PE. So it's very random.